Thank you, Brother Mike. Let's take our Bibles and we're going to turn to Luke chapter 19, if you will. Anybody need a worksheet that did not receive a worksheet? Slip your hand up and they'll come by and make sure you have one. It's good to see everybody here tonight. And Luke chapter 19. Working our way through Luke. And again, we've been working our way through the entire Bible starting many years ago. We started in Genesis and did kind of an overview of some things. And we get finished all the way through. I'm going to go back in some of those Old Testament books. We really didn't go through verse by verse like we are here because I was trying to get an overview, but then we kind of got stuck in here. And I'm in the middle of the Gospels, and I wanted to do Matthew and did that verse by verse by verse all the way through the book. Then we did Mark, and we did the parts in Mark that were not included in Matthew or Luke and John. And now we're in the midst of doing Luke, and we're doing the things that are in Luke that are not recorded in Matthew, Mark, and John. And so we're coming down to the end, and of course, the middle of this chapter is actually the triumphal entry. Now, we covered that pretty clearly. We went through Matthew, so I wasn't going to cover that area tonight, although I'm going to read it because it does give a context to what we're talking about tonight. And so anyway, that's Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read verse number... let's see here. I don't want to read. Well, okay, I'll read. Let me go ahead and read this. It's a good portion here, starting in verse 28. And we're not going to spend a lot of time, but these first up through verse 40, I want you to listen to that. That's because we're going to refer to it, but we're not really going to study that part verse by verse. So Luke chapter 19, verse number 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Now, if you were here on Palm Sunday, we talked about riding the colt, and we used this passage in here. And anyway, verse 30, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him." That's all the reason you need. "Why should I give this to him? Because the Lord has need of it." And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners there said unto them, "Why loose ye the colt?" And they said, "The Lord hath need of him." And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." Of course, they wouldn't recognize Jesus for who he was, and so as far as they're concerned, it's blasphemy. But they said, "Stop saying what you're saying." Verse 40, "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Now, this is the last few verses here, last eight verses or so is what we're going to look at tonight. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city." Now, remember that when he comes in, he's coming in, and they're saying, "Hosanna, Son of David," and so forth, and blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, and so forth, and all that. He comes down to Mount of Olives, which, of course, is a picture of the second coming, when he comes down to Mount of Olives and goes into the Eastern Gate, and so forth. He splits the mount in two when his feet touch the top in Zechariah. And so all this is very similar to what he's going to do in the second time, because basically he's saying, if you had accepted this, we could have bypassed all this other stuff that we're going to do for the next 2,000 years or more. But you wouldn't. So at that point, God could have said, "You know what, I'm done with a whole bunch of, let's just have a new heaven, new earth right now." But he didn't, because God is a God of grace. And we live in the age of grace. And so God has brought down his Spirit to enter the saved person so that we can go out in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We don't have to die. We don't have to go into eternity lost. We can have a new salvation, new life. Anyway, so verse 41, "When he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and they and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple, and began to cast them out. And that's the next story. We'll get the next part there. Let's pray. And kind of a sad title, kind of a funny title, but it's kind of a sad title. Would've, could've, should've. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Lord, give us your heeding. Speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. May we have open ears and open hearts. The Pharisees saw Jesus come in just like he was said he would come. That's like the Messiah was told he would come in the Old Testament. And they knew that. They refused to receive him. They just wanted the disciples to shut up. Lord, may we not tell you to be quiet, or tell the sounding of the Word of God to be quiet, but open our hearts and receive what you have for us. Lord, I pray you bless our time. May your Holy Spirit move and give us each what we need in the right application. In Christ's name, amen. Sometimes we come to a place where we realize that something should have been done. You ever get that? It should have been done. It's kind of like when, you know, you've been putting off having the oil change, and all of a sudden now the engine light comes on. Or, I was going to stop for gas. Well, I thought you were going to stop for gas. I thought you were going to stop for gas. Well, we're going to stop. Something should have been done, but it's kind of late now. In other words, it could have been done, and should have been done, and most likely would have been done. Sometimes it's because we just didn't know. But you know, if you go out and you get stopped by the police out there, and you say, "Well, I just didn't know," you know what they say? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. You're supposed to know. It's public knowledge. We said we would have done it, but we didn't know. We could have done it if we would have known, but we should have done it and could have done it, and maybe we would have done it if we would have seen the need, but we didn't see the need. We should have seen the need, but we weren't paying attention. In Proverbs, it's written to pass. It says to pass along wisdom. In Proverbs 1, verse 2, it says this: to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment, equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We say we don't know. Sometimes we don't know because we just didn't choose to find out. We come to Romans 1, we don't really have an excuse. Creation itself tells us about the power of God in the things that we can see. We see the invisible things. Psalm 19 tells that the heavens declare his glory. Now, maybe we were not paying attention because we were distracted. Maybe we were just negligent. Maybe there were some things that we didn't like and we refused to listen and we missed out on the conversation. No matter what the circumstances may be, would have, could have, should have, will make no difference once the opportunity is passed. That's my point. We can blame this, we can blame that, we can say, well, this is the extenuating circumstances, but the fact is, would have, could have, should have, makes no difference once the opportunity is passed, the door is shut and locked. No matter what the circumstances, it just will not make any difference. We need to be diligent to add to our faith. We need to have ears to hear what the Lord saith. We need to be dying daily and surrendering our bodies as living sacrifices so that when the Lord speaks, we're ready with the proper response so we can avoid the regrettable would have, could have, should have. Let me just say this. There's way too many Christians who wait until everything falls apart to go looking for the answers. And then we'll say, well, I would have, but I didn't know. I should have. I could have. But we're long past the real opportunity. You say, well, God can do anything. Yeah, he can. Here's the problem. We can limit the omnipotent God because we decide, first of all, not to follow him. You say, well, you know, I would have, should have, could have raised my kids in a certain way. Well, that's right. But God can get it. Well, yes, he can. But wait a minute, where's their heart now? I mean, God will, but will they? We can say, we're going to wait until everything falls apart, and then we decide we need to come to God. Well, God can fix them and give us some things. In fact, the Bible says there's times he can give us back the years the locust ate. But don't expect him to, you know, grow you a new leg that you lost in a DUI accident. We can certainly pray and hope, but we have no right to demand that God's going to put our family back together after we have basically pushed them away for the last 25 years. I mean, it's serious stuff. Would have, should have, could have. And that's what Jesus is saying right here. Let me give you number one. God weeps over our losses. God weeps over our losses. Sometimes I think he weeps over our losses more than we do. Luke 19:41 says, when he was come near to the city, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace. Now, first of all, they had the word of God. The problem is they weren't listening to the word of God. The leaders weren't preaching the word of God. They were preaching the thoughts of the Pharisees. They had taken the Bible and basically set it aside, and then they were telling everybody what the Bible says. Now listen, you know what? That's where we are in a lot of denominations in America. They don't hardly crack the book itself open. They'll say, I'll tell you what it says. Now not every church and every denomination is the same, and I know that, and you know that, and I'm not trying to make a gross assumption. But in general, it's what the church says, not necessarily what the Bible says. That's wrong. Get ourselves in trouble. We're trying to do our own little thing, and we wonder why the place is a mess. He says they didn't know, though they should have known. You go back to the Old Testament, and finally they were cleaning out Josiah, the young king, decided that they needed to clean out the temple. And they came back and said, you know what we found? What'd you find? We found the book. Look at this. Here's the word of God. Well, what's it say? And he started reading it. He said, oh my soul, we're dead men. We've been doing this all wrong. We got to get this thing straightened out. Well, I'm glad that he did. But what about all those years where they lost it? Where it was hidden? They didn't know where it was. What about all the generations that grew up without the word of God? Where there is no vision, the people perish. You look at the verse right before, it's talking about the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord, that's our vision God, this is what we're supposed to do. That's our vision for life. God takes care of putting us where we're supposed to be. We're worried about putting ourselves where we're supposed to be, and we don't care how we're going to get there. God says, you do it my way, I'll get you where you need to be. He says, listen, he says, if thou hadst known, even that, watch, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace. Our peace. Our peace with God brings many blessings. If we had just realized all that is gained when receiving God's peace, you would think we would want to have it. They don't even know. I mean, even if you don't even think about eternity, just think about what God can do. If heaven never was promised to me. You ever hear that old song? And it'd be good just walking with you. But we have heaven. He said, if they had just known the peace that God could have brought, he said, pray for peace in Jerusalem. And the fact is, don't you think God would bring peace to Jerusalem? Sure he would, but they would not. Because they wanted to get rid of the Prince of Peace. the prince, the one who has the authority over peace. If you want peace, you got to take the one, you got to get it from the one who has the authority to distribute peace. The prince, the authority, the king of peace, the one who controls peace. He controls the distribution of peace. You want peace? You got to get it through the prince of peace. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. If you want peace, it's going to go through the Son. You cannot get peace and put Jesus on the sideline. See, if they just realize it, you would think they would want it. If we would think of all the hurt we would avoid by receiving God's peace, you would think we would want to have it. God knows the life and the blessings we will be missing. And God knows what heartache and regret we are experiencing because we simply will not receive Him. We refuse Him. There's a few people here on the triumphal entry, praise the Lord, Hosanna. They knew who He was. And here we go. We got the Pharisees, the leadership in the community saying, tell them to shut up. We don't want to hear it. He said, well, you're missing it. Listen, we experience it ourselves. You go someplace and start talking about Jesus, somebody, even maybe your closest friends will say, you know what, I think that's enough. No, no, thank you. I remember years ago before my dad was saved, I always used to go out in churches. And of course, I grew up in a mainline denominational church, and that's where I went. That's no one else, you know, the other folks didn't, you know, they didn't have anything to do with me. All the independent Baptists, they wouldn't want to have anything to do with me because, you know, I had mainline denomination written all over me, and I understand it, you know, they didn't know what I was going to come in and do. But I go to some of these old churches and had some, and we're talking, man, 40, 45 years ago. And so some of the old saints have been long since gone. We're in there. And we go in, we'd sing, and I'd talk in the middle and give the gospel and so forth. And they said, we haven't heard that probably in 35 years. And they were just thrilled with it. But there was other folks, they didn't want to have anything to do with that. And I remember my dad saying, he used to go, he said, he'd like to hear me sing. But he says, stop that preaching stuff in the middle. Just sing. You sound good, music's good. And of course, the songs we were singing said it the same thing. But see, he could listen to the music and avoid the words. He says, just sing. Forget about all that other stuff in between time. Well, if I'm going to forget about all the other stuff, I might as well just stay home. We did the singing to get him in so I could tell him the rest. He says, verse 42, if thou hast known, even thou at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, letter D, but now they are, maybe it's not D for you, but anyway, but now they are hid from thine eyes. It's all over. Doors closed. Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but a simple pass on and are punished. The simple have things hidden from them. Let me just say this. You don't want to know? God's not going to tell you. The Bible says, search it with all your heart, and you shall find him. He that come to him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He didn't take this half stuff. Well, you know, if he wants me, you know, let him smack my head over there. Well, you know, well, I mean, he might smack your head, but then what you do is probably just get mad at him. You want to know who he is, he'll tell you. But if you don't blame him. The fact is, God cares more about our souls than we do. God cares more about the soul of your neighbor than you do, than we do. God weeps over our losses. How many times, you know, we said we could escape the corruption that's in the world through lust if we'd add to our faith virtue and virtue, knowledge and knowledge, temperance and patience. And How many times have you seen somebody do something in a realm that you understand and you're thinking, why in the world are they doing that? I told them not to do that. And there they go. They're just going plowing straight through into that thing. They're not doing themselves any favors. I know where that road goes. Don't go there. I'm sorry. I was thinking about something my wife does. She kind of has a quirky sense of humor. We were on vacation. And we were looking for something, and we couldn't find it, and we ended up at a dead end in front of this fence in front of a military base. And so we were heading back out the way, and she saw a car come another way, and she sticks her head out the window and says, "Wrong way, that's not the right way." It probably was, because they were probably in the military. "Wrong way, that's not the right way. Go back." Anyway, I'm sorry. Number two, weeping can be avoided. God weeps over our losses. He weeps over our losses before we've lost it. He sees where we're going. You know when we start weeping? When we come to the end of our rope, we have nothing but, nothing. In our hand, and we realize we've lost everything. Then we start weeping. But by that time, most likely, it's too late. Unless everybody involved decides they want to get involved and turn themselves, repent, and go back to the Lord and repent, and maybe He may give you some of the years the locust ate. But weeping can be avoided. Hurts and heartaches that could have been avoided. Look at verse number 43. Jesus speaking, "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another." Now let me ask you this. Let me say this first. If we don't decide we're going to accept Him for who He is, not only for our salvation, but as Lord of our life, you can be saved and going to heaven and still lose everything on this side of glory. Plus all the rewards you could have gotten on the other side of glory, saved yet so as by fire. But he's saying we could avoid this. He says, because the days are coming when, listen, everything's going to fall apart on you. Listen, we've been riding. God in His grace has not let everything fall apart. God is not slack. Where's the hope of His coming? His promise of His coming. But listen, God is not slack, according to, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. Why hasn't He already gotten us off of here? Because He's trying to give us as much chance as we can. Even if it only saves one more, it's worth it to Him. But we're not getting away with anything. We could avoid the heartaches and the hurts. He says, it's going to come a day when everything's going to go, and you're going to be surrounded, it's all done. Now, I'll be honest with you, in this, right here, in this passage, these couple verses, 43 and 44, is actually a very clear description of what was going to happen just about 40 years, a little less, from then. In A.D. 70, Titus came in and sieged Jerusalem. That means they bring all their men in and they surround it all the way around with their army. No man can go in and no man can go out. Now, if you ever been to Old City Jerusalem, I haven't been, I've seen some pictures, it's not that big. It's kind of like going into York City. Now, where do you find food in York City? Well, you find it down at the grocery store. You don't, but where's the grocery store get it? Some place outside the city. So when they sieged the city, they sieged your food source. When they put a siege on a city, they did everything they could to stop the water from going into the city. They don't have to fight. All they got to do is just wait long enough for you to die. And he mentions the kids are in there too. Now, why is this? Why is the city of Jerusalem sieged and destroyed, basically flattened in AD 70? I'll tell you why. Because in AD 33, they decided they didn't need Jesus to be their king. He said, if you would have accepted it, John the Baptist would have been the Elijah that's supposed to come ahead of time. We could avoid all this. But there comes to a time when he says, we're done. It's so sad to even think about that. We've crossed the point of no return. It got so bad. You go back and read it out of Josephus. it got so bad where they would, where two, well, I think in the old type of, the same type of thing as seeds, but they were eating their kids. I'm trying to remember if it was in here or in Alpha or Josephus, where I read, somebody else might be able to correct me, where two women, one woman drags another woman to the authorities to basically sue her because they had made a deal to boil her boy and eat him yesterday, and then when it came time to eat her, the other girl's boy, she hit him. And they couldn't. And she says, that's not right, that's not fair. No, it's not fair. But we shouldn't even be here. I mean, this is absurd. Think of the hurt. The Lord knows everything ahead of time. Do you know that he knew all the souls that was trapped in that city, sieged by Titus? He died and knew the sins of the women who were going to boil their babies and eat them. He's coming to the city, and in his mind's eye, he could see the siege. He could see the heartache. He could see the stench. He could see the dead bodies, and thus the disease, and the filth, and the wickedness. It's all because, and what do you do, people? You say, you tell them the people of the city are saying, this is our king, and you're telling them to shut up. Do you know what you're doing? You see, we think we're fine right now. See, that was 40 more years. A lot of those Pharisees were dead. We're long and gone. But we've got this mentality, as long as it's okay with me, I'm okay. Brother Steve Burrell called me this week, and he took a church. First Sunday was in Easter, and they've been running 30, and he's already had a high day over 100, and they're booming. Now, apparently they got in the middle of a building program years ago, and they got a building almost up. They're earning about $15,000, $20,000 from finishing, but you got some folks who don't want to bother doing it, and they're still in the old building, and of course it needs to be refurbished, and it's musty, and this and that and the other thing, but there's housing development. There's a whole horseshoe, 700 houses are going up around his place there, and I mean this is the Lord's put it, the Lord's got him in a great place, and there's a lot of excitement, but he said there's some folks in there who's basically said, well, we've done ours. You know, I'm not going to be here to enjoy this building. Why are we going to spend the money on this building? Why don't we just stay right where we are? And I said, watch this. I said, you tell them. First of all, Abraham, who we've been studying, he never did see the promise. But if he hadn't obeyed the promise, none of it would have happened. I said, you remind them that they may be two steps in the middle of a staircase to God's perfect plan and of completion. But if they take out two steps, we're not going to get here. We got to see beyond ourselves. Well, as long as me and us four can get in, that's all I care about. That's not the way God thinks. He has, listen, those who don't add to their faith virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, they cannot see afar off. And maybe we get to the point where they've forgotten that they've been purged from their old sins, but they can't see past their nose. As long as I'm okay today, that's what he's saying here. We woulda, shoulda, coulda. Well, you could have known because it's in the book that we woulda, shoulda, coulda. But we didn't know. Well, why didn't you know? It's your own fault. Weeping can be avoided. Number three, we often cause our own weeping. We often cause our own weeping. We should have known, he said, we could have known, but we would not that we would know. We just decide not to. Now watch what, let me read this verse again, verse 43. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee. That's what they do. And compass thee around, that's the siege, and keep thee in on every side. And they shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children with thee. They're going to flatten this city, kids and all. Even though don't do it for yourself, do it for the kids. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Look at it. Here it is. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They didn't understand. Whether by ignorance or by choice, who they were, what they were actually being faced with. The word visitation there. You see that in the Bible quite often. That's an unusual. That's not what we do on Tuesday night and Saturday morning. This says God's going to show up. Now on the day of visitation, when God shows up, it might be a good day, it might not be a good day. It's like somebody shows up at your house unannounced. You might say, well, come on in, have nothing to hide. Or you may say, well, let's close the door. Good to see you. How are we doing? Yeah, we've all been there. Even it may not have been real bad, but just not really everything in order the way you want it to be. He says, we've got to be ready on the day of visitation, the day that God comes down. Now, the word visitation means inspection. Now, maybe you've got some neighbors who come over for visits, and that's what they're doing. I don't know, but inspection, accounting. When we are faced with the measuring rod to see if we measure up to the standard. Now, the standard is we're saved by grace through faith. We know that. And also our works we should give account for. Now, John 1, verse 10 says this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He came unto his own received him not. The day of visitation. Is it going to be a good day? Have you ever noticed in the Bible there are several places where it says, and all these blessings for those who love his appearing. Love his appearing. That's what it's talking about. Listen, if you've got a heart that's basically clean before the Lord, I mean, we know none of us perfect, but you know everything's in the blood. You're keeping yourself confessed up, and you're clean before the Lord. You kind of look forward to the day. I don't want to go to the next load either, but you kind of look forward to the day he's going to show up. If you're in the middle of some sin and you think, well, you know, I don't want to come back. Yeah, I've got some things I've got to straighten out. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, there's going to be people who's going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do so and so and so? Says, depart from me, I never knew you. You got a letter C there? It says the first lament. Earlier in Luke, Jesus does the same type thing. He says, and he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one to him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, and he shall answer, saying to you, I know not from whence you are. They will begin to say, we have eaten and drunken in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. You know what they're saying? Well, I went to church. I was with everybody else. Yeah, I did. You know, I mean, I did. I stood up and everybody else stood up. I sat down and everybody else sat down. I could do all the doodads, or I dressed like all the independent fundamentals are supposed to dress. I acted. I had all the right words. Man, I could use the right words at the right time. You know, I mean, we just had it all worked out. Well, good for you, but I didn't know you. You and I never met, is what he's saying. But you shall I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Verse 28 says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. He says, I want you to think ahead here. Let's avoid some tears. Let's avoid the gnashing of teeth. At that point in time, we're going to say, I should have, I could have, I would have. But the door's going to be shut and it's all over. And the woulda, coulda, shoulda is not going to make any difference because we're all already standing out the other side of the door. Watch this. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, And behold, there art last, which shall be first, and there shall be first, which shall be last. He said, listen, you're going to think, well, listen, I went to church and I had everything right. And I dotted all my I's and I crossed all my T's. My P's and Q's were all in the right place. He ought to know who I am. And he said, yeah, but I didn't know you. And he says, you're going to see folks coming from someplace you might have been racist against. You might see some people that you were prejudiced against. You some people that you thought you were better than. But the fact is, they might have had a lot of issues, but they knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they're gonna come, and you're gonna be standing there waiting for your name to be called, and they're gonna call your name. And there's not gonna be anybody less left but the losers. And at that time we're gonna say, I should have, I could have, I would have. Maybe so. Too late. Verse 31. He says, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying to him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and do cures today and tomorrow and the third day, and I shall be perfected. They were not trying to protect Jesus. They were just trying to get rid of him using Herod as an excuse. So he said, well, okay, if there's a problem, go preach to him. And he'll know who I am and he'll be able to be okay. They're not going to go preach to him. And then he says, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Watch, because thou hast, behold, look, he says, look, your house is left on you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Right there is when the door shut on Jerusalem. That's where the door shut. Now, in general, he came into his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, there were some. But in general, there was none. But specifically, individuals, there were some who were able to be called the sons of God. So he shut the door right there. So when we get to it after the triumphal entry, he's coming down. He should have been coming down as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, setting up his throne. But he came down as the Savior, offering himself to pay for the sins of these people who wouldn't accept him. And he weeps all over again. He says, Jerusalem, man, do you have any idea what's going to happen to this place? All because you just didn't want me. 1 Corinthians 2, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come is to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they didn't know. So if they had known, if you just known, why would we know? We're supposed to pass it on. Why didn't they know? It's our fault. Do you realize we all came from Noah? We see things that happen across the world. What a terrible thing, terrible thing. Somebody, from since Noah to now, dropped the ball. Many somebodies, but somebody dropped the ball. If I decide not to follow the Lord, I decide to follow my own heart and not lead my kids to learn the Word of God, they'd be different people. It'd be their fault because they're sin, but it'd be my fault because I didn't let them know the truth. Number four, weeping tears of regret. Weeping tears of regret. Letter A, some will regret the immediate would have, could have, should have. I'll explain here in a second. Some people are going to regret the immediate would have, could have, should have. In other words, we often say, if I knew then what I know now, I would have. And the fact is, if I knew when I started raising kids, what I know now, I'd do a lot of things differently. But you got to move on. You can't live there. So what do? Go back, ask forgiveness. Do everything you can. Teach. Do right. Listen, make lemonade. But by the way, we're the ones that picked the lemons. Our decisions were lemons. We chose the lemons. But we've got to do with what we can, with what we have, and go back and fix as much as we can. And here, the immediate loss for Israel was going to be the siege on Jerusalem in AD 70. Letter B. Some will have already lost many of the blessings of God, by the time they say, would have, could have, should have. It's so sad. Why do we wait so long? We have lost most of the blessings. Some lose family because they didn't bother to know. Some lose their children because they didn't bother to know. Some lose their health because they didn't bother to know. Some lose their wealth because they did not bother to know. Some will lose the peace and the sweetness in life because they just didn't bother to know. They could have known, they should have known, but the wood of the will, if you will, was just not there. Letter C. Some will experience the great would have, could have, should have. And the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. You know, it's bad enough to say I should have, could have, would have when you buy a car and you got new car remorse, you know, buyer's remorse. You know, if I had just known, I wouldn't have done it that way, or this and that and the thing. Okay. But you know what? Those are temporal. As soon as we step into glory, all that's behind us, we don't have to worry about it. That is, if we get to step into glory. And by the way, the temporal, the immediate woulda, shoulda, couldas may affect somebody else's eternal woulda, shoulda, coulda. By and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. Letter D. Expected weeping. Expected weeping. Now, forgive me for this, all right? But just listen to me. I've been in ministry. I've been active in the church since I was a kid. One of the main people in the service since I was 18. Started going visiting and so forth when I was about 23. Became leadership and Open Door when I was 26. Went on staff when I was 28. And been in the ministry one way or another since 1988. I don't know everything, and I'm not as old as some of you are. I understand that. You've got experience. Where there are certain people that I can easily expect to see a blessed life. That's good. Because the woulda, coulda, shoulda, they're thinking about now, so that when the time gets there's no woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's, I did. I did. Went the extra mile then. It seemed like a bother, but I did. There are some that I can easily see having a difficult life full of tragedies. There are things that they should do and do now if they want to see themselves, save themselves from harm and hurt and heartaches. They could do something about the process and the natural consequences. By the way, a lot of the things are natural consequences of certain decisions. They could do something about it now. However, they will not make the changes. They could have, they should have, but they wouldn't. One more blank there, right? A fool is confident. A fool is confident. I didn't say he knows what he's talking about. I said he's confident. I didn't say he's going in the right direction. I'm saying he's confident. Some first time I went to the airport in Harrisburg, flew out of here when I moved up here. It was a foggy day, and for some reason, the first time, I was kind of scared. I was going someplace to speak or something, and I'm singing, or I don't know what it was. I hadn't done a whole lot of that, so I was kind of nervous and kind of worked up over that. And I'd gotten up just a little later than I wanted to, and got myself all loaded up in the car, and I got out of here on Sunset, and I got to the stop sign Sunset, and my car just stopped. My Jeep just stopped. And I put it on, now, you know, you got fuel injections, you don't pump your gas with fuel injections, you just flood, but it's just like, so I don't have anything to lose, so I'm pumped. And I'm babying this thing, trying to get going, and you know, and so I made it out here to 74, and I was coming across at McDonald's and going up there up 83 to go. And every time I got to a stop sign, I've got my foot on the brake, but got my foot on the gas going all the way up there. Now, once you got going the right speed, it was fine. But if you threw that came down, it was just, I don't know what it was. By the way, Alan Bonsall's bunch was the only ones that could find out what was wrong with it. And I took it to about three or four five-star places, just so you know. He can pay me later. But anyway, he figured out what was wrong with it. So anyway, I'm trying to get up there, and so I'd never gone up there. And he said, now get on there and get on the on the turnpike. I know you can get around another way, but it'll be simple. Just get on there. It's going to go to cost. Back then it was like 85 cents. Now it's a dollar and a quarter. But anyway, yeah, he said, just get on there and you get it. And now your exit that goes out to the airport is right there. Well, I got out of, you know, and I'm a country boy. I don't know how to do all this stuff. So I got the toll and I was the wrong place. I had to get over here. And all I saw was a sign that said Lancaster at that light. So that must not be the right one. In fact, to be honest with you, he said Lancaster Airport. Well, I said, that's not the airport I want to go to. I want to go to Harrisburg Airport. I'll be honest, that's why. So that must not be it. It must be right down there. Well, of course, you're now on the turnpike. You get on there, you get rolling, you go past the exit. You're on there a while. So I said, I go on there, and I think it's got to be closer. And I'm making good time in the wrong direction. Security wasn't quite so bad then, by the way, and I got in, and I got in just as you closing the door. And I could run back then. So we did all right. Listen, a fool is confident. Listen, when we're woulda, coulda, shouldas, we're all right. We'll be okay. We got this covered. There's no big deal. I know what I'm doing. Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart, somebody who just kind of walked away from God, shall be filled with his own ways. That's because he's empty of the Lord's ways. By the way, we have leaky hearts. And the things of God leaks out. You've got to keep filling up with the Lord's word all the time. Now, that's actually a good, though, because you fill it up with the good stuff, the junk starts rolls out. You keep filling up with the good stuff, eventually kind of flushes the rest of the junk out, which is what you're trying to do with the washing of the water of the word. That's good. Now, the thing is, though, if you don't put anything in it, it's like leaving this glass tomorrow morning. If I left that tomorrow morning, I wouldn't drink it. Why? It gets dirty just being in the world. It collects dirt. It'll get a scum on there before Sunday. And that's what our heart will do. So if we don't fill it with the Lord's ways, it's filled with our own ways. So it says, a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I will have what I need on the inside when I need it. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man, listen, feareth. It's not foolish to fear. It's foolish not to fear. The wise man feareth and departeth from evil. I'm not going anywhere, but the fool rageth and is confident. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. Can see down the road. If he can see down the road and he's a wise man, he doesn't need any woulda, coulda, shouldas. Because he did. The prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life, and thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, the ones who don't go the right path. He doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he should not depart from them. There's the principle. One more. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself away from the evil. He separates himself from the evil, but the simple pass on and are punished. Jesus said, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, the days, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Now they're hid. You didn't want to see them, so you're not going to see them. Would have, could have, should have. What a sad song. Now there is an old Southern gospel song. Can he, could he, would he, did he? Can he, could he, would he? Yes, he can, he could, he would, and he did. That's a different story. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to us here this evening. I thank these dear folks. Pray, Lord, that you'll help them to just get in and get and just roll around and enjoy your love and your presence. And as they spend their time with you, they can see afar off and won't have to say, at least not as much, I would have, could have, should have. Lord, speak to hearts. Heads about.